that the government gives a lot of funds, huge amount of funds, for people to make all sorts of so-called scientific research and so on. And they go on saying, well, we are about to give you the result. We are about to give you the result, as we heard here today. And the scientists drag on the matter for years together sometimes. Here it was only a few months. And after a few years, it is found that the project would cause tremendous amount of pollution or tremendous amount of ecological disturbance or some sort of imbalances in our water supply or something like that. And immediately the government gets alarmed and they say, no, you stop. Even if you spend 10,000 crore rupees, you must stop today. Then the scientists say, to roll back the program, we need some more money. So they say, all right, you take that also. So this purport, in today's terms, is more or less like that only. Whereas what we are going to talk about today is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, we will also go through the first canto, first chapter, first verse in more detail. And this is the real solution. And this will be proved today. Hare Krishna. We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 1, canto 1, text number 1. This great Amala Puran, Amal means, Mal is anything dirty. Amal means there is no dirt at all. Amala Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam, has 18,000 shlokas. And acharyas say that it has 5,67,000 words in these 12 cantos. But they say you cannot understand or you will not grasp the full meanings of all the other 17,999 shlokas unless you master the first shlok first. The first shlok is the Mangalacharan. The first shlok is a condensed version of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you put in your life, implement the first shlok and the last shlok of Srimad Bhagavatam, you have virtually, in this body itself, you have gone home back to Godhead. That is what the meaning is. So, let us understand this great Srimad Bhagavatam and how a little bit of a history is very important. As you all know that Vedvyasji is a literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. His full name is Krishna Dvaipayani Vyas. Now he wrote a book which many of you must have gone through called the Mahabharata. In fact, we just saw a small play. Now, in this Mahabharata, there is a king Yudhishthira you all know about. And it so happened that due to an unfortunate incident where he indulged in playing a dice game, the dice, of course, was loaded by Shakuni because he was the embodiment of cheating propensity. And Yudhishthira, like Dharmaraj, he could not see that this man is fully cheating us. However, the brothers were so dedicated, as many of you might have heard this morning, the wonderful Bhagavatam class we had early morning by Gauranga Prabhu, that none of the brothers actually objected. Bhima, little bit he got a little upset for a while, but he was more controlled. We'll talk about this mind control later, because this is a very important feature of going home back to Godhead. None of the brothers objected. They said, whatever Yudhishthira has done, we are with you. Whatever has happened, has happened. You heard today morning how he explained that in the present context, in today's terms, there would have been so many comments, even on a daily basis, against a elder brother like Yudhishthir. But that was not so at that time. Let me explain to you why that happened, that nobody was against Yudhishthir. It so happened that in the last stages of their being in the forest, you know that because they lost this dice game, they were then cast into the forest. At the last stage, the last few months, I should say, they were in the forest and they were at a deep end of the forest. They were extremely thirsty. Mother Kunti wanted to have some water and the pitcher was totally empty. Pitcher means like gada. In Hindi we say, gada khali tha, to pani bharna tha usme. So Nakul went up a tree and he said, oh, there is a lake nearby, let me go there. So the youngest one went there with the gada and he was about to fill the water of that lake. And a voice came, yaksha voice, and said, don't touch the water. First you answer my questions, otherwise you shall die. Nakul looked around here and there. He didn't find anyone. And he said, I'll just have a little sip because I'm so thirsty myself and see what happens. And lo and behold, the moment he tried to sip the water, he fell dead. After some time, Sadev, his younger brother, also was very upset. He said, let me go and find out what happened. He also went there. The same thing repeated. He also fell dead. So two of the brothers fall dead there. Arjun then was next. He went and he took out his bow and arrow. He said, who are you to challenge me? Who killed my brothers? Come out in the open and fight with like a kshatriya. But the yaksha did not respond. He said, don't touch the water. Answer my question. That's all I ask. And he had no patience. He said, I have no patience with people like you. And he drank the water and he died. Bhima, of course, went with his gada. And you can imagine what must have taken place at that time. And he started swinging his gada here and there, but of no avail. And he too fell dead. Mother Kunti was so upset. She said, all these boys have gone and nobody has returned with any water. They said the water was nearby. Yudhishthir, please find out what has happened. Yudhishthir finally went there. Yudhishthir went there and he saw his four brothers lying dead. He was shocked. And he said, who has killed these brothers of mine? The yaksha said, I have. The voice said. And he said, how can that happen? Arjun is so powerful. Bhima is so powerful with his gada. I can't imagine who you are. He said, never mind. Just answer my questions. And then you can fill up the water and we'll see next what to do. So, Yudhishthir is the embodiment of Dharma. And he said, all right, you ask your questions. And he held his acute thirst under control. 17 questions were asked by this yaksha. And these 17 questions are the most important question and answer of the whole of Mahabharata. Other than the question and answer of the Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita comes in the middle of the Mahabharata. It is between Krishna and Arjun. It's Bhagavad Gita. So it is between God and his pure devotee Arjun. Here is the case where it is between a yaksha and Yudhishthir. So the first question that the yaksha asked is, what makes the sun shine every day? What makes the sun shine every day? And Yudhishthir replied, it is Brahman which makes the sun shine every day. So yaksha said, good, correct. Next. What rescues a man in danger? You are in danger, supposing, for any reason. What can help you? What can rescue you? Yudhishthir said, only courage can help a man in danger. By what study? Of which science does man become wise? Because we all think that people become wise by studying science. Yes, that is true. Even in that time, 5,000 years ago, This was a question put to Yudhishthir. And the answer, Yudhishthir said, not by studying any shastra does man become wise. It is by association with devotees that a man becomes wise. This is a wonderful, wonderful reply. This is the first thing I want you to note down. It is by association with devotees that you get wisdom. Who says? Yudhishthir says. And the Yaksha says, that is correct. Next question. What is more noble and sustaining than the earth? What is more noble and sustaining than the earth? And Yudhishthir replies, the mother. The mother is the one who brings up the children, bears the children and brings up the children. And she is more important and more sustaining than Mother Earth also. The mother is more important. What is higher than the sky? So Yudhishthira replies, higher than the sky is the father. What is fleeter, faster than the wind? Yudhishthira replies, faster than the wind is the mind. What is more blighted than withered straw? What you see, when the straw is dry, it looks very, very weak and yellow. What is worse than that? A sorrow-stricken heart. Many of you might have experienced from time to time, sometimes somebody has died in the family and you become very sorrowful. Say, your father has died, as in my case, or my mother had died. One becomes very, very sorrowful. You see, a long association of, say, 60 years suddenly comes to an end. Or the worst is when a small child dies in the family. The association might have been only 6 months. But the mother had given birth to the child. You can imagine the agony that a mother has to go through when she sees her own 6-month-old child die. It's more painful than anything else on earth, Yudhishthir replies. What befriends a traveler? Supposing you are traveling most of the time. What is it that is most helpful to you as a friend? Learning. Learning is very important. You have to learn from books. So you have to maintain your association and your contact with books. But what type of books? If you have good books, you have good company. If you have bad books, you have bad company. So therefore, Shastra is the most important, and we shall come to that in the course of this today. Who is the friend of the one who stays at home? The wife. Who accompanies a man in death? Now we are coming to the important subject of death. This whole afternoon, I'm afraid, you are all going to get a taste of death. It's not a subject which is very pleasurable. It is not a subject which is very pleasant. I'm afraid I'm like a doctor who's going to give you some bitter medicine. But it is the medicine which will save your lives. Not only this life, but forever, eternally, eternity. The medicine which will be given today will be eternally beneficial to you. However, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what is poisonous in the beginning is nectar at the end. Poisonous means sometimes it's written on the label of the medicine. Poison, isn't it? On many medicines you will read the word poison. But that is the medicine which will save you. If it's taken in a proper way, in a proper course, etc. So, today we shall go through this. Now we are coming to the first subject. What accompanies a man in death? When you die, who goes with you? Any member of your family? No. Nobody wants to come with you. They'll say, Ram, bolo bhai, Ram, isko nikalo, your body ko. Even your pet dog will not go with you. Nobody will go with you. But Yudhishthira replies, dharma, that alone accompanies the soul in the solitary journey after death. You are born alone and you die alone. You are not going to have anybody coming with you when you are born, and there is nobody with you when you die. It's a very sad situation, very strange situation. Because when you travel a long distance, normally you like somebody who is known to you to travel with you. You feel a little more comfortable. you feel a little more happy if there is a strong person with you or somebody else known to you. But here you are going on a journey which you don't know anything about. And it's a long journey, I can assure you. It's a long journey and you're not ready. And you don't know who's going to accompany you. So the only thing Yudhishthir says which will accompany you is your dharma. What is happiness? Happiness is a result of good conduct. What is it that abandoning which man becomes loved by all? We all like people to say good things about us. We don't like people to curse us. We don't like people to blame us or say bad things about us. So what is it that makes everybody, the whole world, praise us or be that we become loved by them? Pride is to be abandoned. If you give up pride, false pride, means at the same time it becomes being humble. The process of humbleness is to give up false pride. If you become humble, tranadapi sunichena, tarorapi saishnunam, amani nama anadena, kirtaniya sadahari. Lord Chaitanya himself says, most important is to become humble or to give up pride. It's like a glass. As you empty out the water, it starts becoming empty. So as you empty out pride, the glass becomes empty. And therefore, then only you can fill in something new. If you want to fill in milk. You can't fill milk if the glass is already full of dirty water. Pride is like dirty water. You have to throw out that dirty water and then only you can fill in good milk. Similarly, Yudhishthira replies to this yaksha. And the last and most important thing I want to tell you is, he says, what is the most surprising thing in this world? Can anybody tell me? Does anybody know? What is the most surprising thing in this world? You put up the hand first. Yes. Yes. Absolutely correct. Yudhishthira replies, every day we see people dying. And yet, we think I am not going to die. That is the most surprising thing in the world. We are going to die. There is no choice. There is no option. It's bound to happen. All of us who are living in this room are living now, but will be dead. I don't know when, but it will happen. Okay. So, the final exam. You see, all of us have gone through some exams. All of us. Whether it is first standard, 10th standard, 12th standard, whatever exam. BA, MA, or LLB or whatever, engineering. All of us have gone through some exams. So, we prepare for an exam, don't we? We read some past question papers. We take some help of some guide or some previous person who has passed the exams. We do so many preparations. Do we really prepare for that most important exam? The final exam. The final exam is death. There is no other exam after death. It is the final exam in this life. Are we ready? Yudhishthira is saying that is the most important exam. And nobody is ready for it. How do we get ready for this exam is what this Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us. Because it was spoken by none other than Sukhdev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And Parikshit Maharaj's question was the first and most important question. What is to be done by me? Means he was talking about himself. When a person is about to die, what should I be doing? That was the most important question. That's the start of the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. So I'm afraid I'm giving you this class today on not a subject which is very palatable or enjoyable, but it's item which we discussed today, which will prepare us for our most important exam. This Srimad Bhagavatam, I will tell you that there are four sampradayas. I think most of you are aware of it. I don't want to spend too much time on it. And there are acharyas. There are great teachers who have commented on this Srimad Bhagavatam, like Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati gave one whole month lecture on this one first shloka only. Of course, I won't speak for 1 month. I'll be speaking only for 1.5 hours or whatever time is allotted to me. But I can assure you, there is so much khajana, there is so much material wealth that Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj must have spoken for 1 month, and every moment must have been a gem. You see? So you can be assured that you are going to get your value of your time, because your time is very precious. Your time is very valuable. You have given up today, Sunday afternoon, when you could do so many other things, nice things, besides watching. I don't know if cricket is there, but some people watch cricket. But now people are fed up of that also, because they are lost. So here the question is that we have to now forget about these small pastimes, cricket and all these small things, and become serious about the thing which is going to be our final exam. All of us are senior enough. All of us know that this is bound to happen. Yudhishthir said so. And therefore, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the final, topmost and spotless Puran. This Puran gives us a firm basis to the Vedas. Jiva Goswami says that this Srimad Bhagavatam is a basis, foundation. You see? Basis means foundation. And Jiva Goswami says, Srimad Bhagavatam gives us, means just like a architect builds a designs a house, and some contractor, civil contractor, gives us a house. And he says, sorry, there is no foundation in this. Then what is the use? I mean, any day that damn building would collapse and we die in it. Be part of the rubble. So, we first examine, bhai, isme foundation to achha hai na. Let us understand who made the foundation. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is, according to our Shastric Acharyas, the foundation of the Vedas. Vedas means knowledge. Vedas means knowledge. So, if you don't have Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't have knowledge, in short. Because the foundation is not there. in the same book, on page 69, Tattva Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the subject matter is three. Just try to understand. Just as in the Bhagavad Gita, what is the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita? Anybody knows? What is the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita? Any of you know what is?
Dharma.
Dharma. Is there?
It starts with Dharma and ends with Dharma.
I see. Achha.
I may be wrong, but
I see. Okay. Anybody else has any feeling? Yes? Huh? Prakriti time. Okay, that is one of the subjects of the Bhagavad Gita, correct? And? Huh? Soul and super soul. Okay, all right. Yes? Okay, you are now on the right path. So, we start with Ishvara, correct? Ishvara in this case is Param Ishvara. Lord Krishna is the main subject of the Bhagavad Gita. Then, second, Jiva. In this case, it is Arjuna. He is the Jiva. Correct? Then third subject is Kala. Kala is time in this case. At five places, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Kalosmi. I am time, he says. Okay? Then the next one is Prakruti. Prakruti meaning, we are talking about Mother Nature. Now these are eternal. They don't mean fade away or die away. But the last one, Karma, can be changed, can be stopped, can be modified. You cannot modify time, can we? No. We cannot modify that. We cannot modify Mother Nature. Mother Nature can modify us, but not that. Other way around. So, we have to accept that. So, these are the five subject matters of Bhagavad Gita. According to Jiva Goswami, the three subjects of this Srimad Bhagavatam is Sambandha, Abhidaya and Prayojana. Now let me tell you, what is Sambandha? Sambandha means relationship. The moment a young girl marries a young boy, what happens? Automatically, there are new Sambandhas, connections built up. The girl suddenly comes home and says, mummy, now which mummy she is referring to? Not the earlier one, her who has given her birth, but a new mummy, the boy's son, isn't it? Wo bhi mother ho jata, mother-in-law. But nowadays, girls don't call them mother-in-law. They call them mummy only. And the mummy feels happy. Haan, meri ladki ye, bahu aayi hai, achhi hai. Mere ko mummy bolti hai. See? Half the story of this world is how you speak. If you can deliver your speech nicely, sweetly, you have won the heart of half the people in this world. And the balance half is if you tell the truth and if it is connected with Krishna. Because Krishna himself is sweet. So you can imagine how easy it is. Then the father-in-law is there and the brother-in-law is there. All these relationships are instantly made the moment the Panditji says, you both are married. So, our relationship comes in this world also. Sambandha. But unfortunately, of course the young girl will never forget her own mother or her own father. In fact, it is well known that since I have my own daughter, I can tell you that the daughter loves the mother and the father much more after a marriage than even before the marriage. Am I correct? There are so many other ladies here. Am I right? Well, then they realize, you see, how important, how nice my mother was. She took so much trouble. My mother brought me up. When I didn't want to drink milk, she made me drink milk so that I might be strong. She took care of me in my illness. Nobody else could have done as well as my mother would have done. And the relationship between mother and daughter becomes much better once the daughter has gone away to the other house. Isn't it? It's a fact. It's a fact of life. Similarly, we, Jiva Goswami says, similarly, we who come in this world, material world, for a young girl, going to the in-laws' house is as bad as the material world. I can tell you that. She suddenly finds herself in a very strange atmosphere with new standards of living and with new things happening everywhere. So the poor thing has to adjust, you see. So we also as a child, when we are born, but before we are born, do you know what happens? Kapil Dev says to Devahuti Mata in the, what is the third canto, right? Third canto. That the child in the womb, all of us have been childs in the womb at one time. Otherwise we wouldn't have been born or sitting here. Prays desperately to God. God, get me out of this horrible place. The womb is very tight, very small place. It's full of all sorts of dirty fluids. And so congested. And the child can't move also, do anything, play, nothing. For heaven's sake, get me out of this. I'll never forget you. I will always be your devotee. I will do everything for you. I'll always see that whatever instructions asked by you to me, I will carry them out. Fine. Moment is born, that's forgotten. Hawa lag jati hai. You get the wind of this material atmosphere. And the child is told, oh, how sweet you are. The child says, yes, yes, I'm very sweet. And the child is given a name, beautiful clothes, given nice food to eat. And gradually, God is forgotten altogether. That sambandha then gets attachment to this material world with the material father and the mother, etc., etc. And our main attachment with God is forgotten. So, Jiva Goswami says, Bhagavatam is to remind you of your original attachment with Krishna. Now, I was called maybe 8-10 months ago, by the chief Mayavadi of whole of India. That is Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, who has taken over from my so-called previous teacher, who was Chinmayanand Swami. He's left this world. Chinmayanand Swami, poor fellow, he went for a bypass surgery, and there and there on the table, the I don't know what happened in his heart, but the doctor killed him, or he died. Now, I've had 2 times bypass surgery, and I'm surviving, and I'm speaking here. But the point of the matter is that when I was called to the headquarters of this Mayavad philosophy, I was not happy at all. I went to my Guru Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj, and I said, they've sent this invitation. Their top people have come to my office. They say that in the whole of India they've searched. I don't know whether they really searched well enough. But they said in the whole of India they've searched, and they found me as the candidate to speak on Krishna as CEO. They said, you are a CEO yourself, chairman and managing director at that time I was, of one of the companies in India. You are a CEO, and you have known to be a Krishna Bhakta, so you can speak. Some people are extremely good at knowledge of Krishna, but they are not CEO. And most of the CEO I know for a fact, they are all my colleagues, they don't know anything about Krishna, and they don't want to know also. Unfortunately, they want to know more about what Reserve Bank produces than Krishna produces. So then, that's rupee notes. So the position was, I was in a fix. And I had to go there. So I asked Radhanath Maharaj that I can't go alone. I must have sambandha. I must have some relation, connection with someone. So one of my godbrothers volunteered to join me in this horrible journey. So, and we had to prepare ourselves. So we were thinking, what shall we speak? Krishna is CEO. So finally it was agreed that we will only glorify Krishna. That's all. Because if we try to tell these people, and they were big, big Mayavadis. They were not small-time people, you know. This was like many, many sannyasis, all senior sannyasis of this famous Shankaracharya lineage. And they were with lots of big, big white hair and jatas and beards and everything. And here we were, poor fellows from Chopati. and we were called. Okay. And we gave. And they were stunned. They couldn't believe. Because we proved point by point by point from the Shastras. From nothing else. You see. From Gita Mahatmya we said that who is Krishna? Anybody knows Gita Mahatmya, Krishna? Anybody here? Anyone? Prabhuji? Eko Devo, Devaki Putra Eva, Eko Mantrasya Namani Yani, Karmyapekam Tasya Devasya Seva. There is only one God, Eko Devo. Others are all servants of the God, Krishna. Now, who is this Eko Devo? Devaki Putra Eva, Devaki's son, Krishna, Putra Eva. Eko Mantrasya Namani Yani. There's only one mantra. Who says? I told them. Your original Acharya says. Shankaracharya says. So they were shocked. They said, yes, yes. One of them caught his ears. I said, you keep it. Keep it up. Pakad rakho. Don't let go. Because the ears are the most important. Listen. I told him, listen. Please listen carefully. That there is only one God, there is only one Krishna, and he is the whose name is the mantra. Ekas Devaki Putra Eva, Ekos Namani Yani. His name is the mantra. Which is the mantra? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is there in the Shastras. I told them, please see this famous Shastra where it is clearly stated between Brahma and Narad. Now, none of us in that huge big hall were anywhere near the size of Brahma or anywhere near the size of Narad Muni in spiritual terms. And they, in Kali Santara Upanishad, it is very clearly stated this Maha Mantra. You see? And what is our duty? That's coming next. Our duty is to serve him. Seva. Krishna Seva. If you do that, that solves our problem. So CEO, Krishna is the CEO. Krishna is the chief executive officer of everything. Means the chairman of everything. He's the owner of everything. And there are managers, many managers. There is a chief manager, general manager, chief one, called Mahadev. The rest are all devas. You see, there could be like Agni, who's in charge of fire. Fire is a very important thing after all. There is rain, Indra. After all, rain is also very, very important. Vayu, very important. So gradually we realize that everybody else is devas. Why waste our time with the devas? Because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that if you pray to the devas, you go to the devas. You pray to me, you come to me. So first thing is samandha. Second is abhidaya, where you have to understand what you have to do. What is your function? After all, you got so much time in this world. It's not for watching cricket, you know. It's for praying to Krishna, listening to his glorious activities. It's very simple. You don't have to spend too much money also. Just come here and listen. And you get the benefit of going home back to Godhead. It solves your problems permanently. And prayojana is the final thing which I want to read out a beautiful article which I got on the email, where Radhanath Maharaj explains very beautifully. May I read this out? Maharaj Muchkunda is explaining what is embarrassing situation this is. One is thinking he is independent and supreme. Many of us think, you know, you go to some place, everybody says, I've heard this. Some people say, I am God. Some people say, there is no need for God. Some people say, after all, I'll do my own duty and I'll do effort and I will get my own results. I don't need God. Like that, people talk. All nonsense. So Muchkunda Maharaj is feeling very unhappy that people are talking like this nonsense. Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explain in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the connection, that Sukhdev Goswami states that one's material life of such a wandering soul, because our soul has been wandering for unlimited amount of time, ceases, means stops this wandering, just going hither, there, nothing, no specific place to go. He stops when he starts thinking that why am I doing all this? All of you who have come here are very, very, very fortunate, because you come here and you are most fortunate that you have taken the first step, not only the steps of this temple, but you have taken the first step of going home back to Godhead. Here is Radhan Maharaj himself says, first, there is little faith in your heart. In your heart, you have a little faith. That's why you come here. Second, Krishna is within your heart. He sees that you have faith. He sees that you have some desire for what is sublime. And Krishna, by his causeless mercy, directs you to the association of his devotees. Again, we come to the main subject. Association of devotees. Earlier also I told you, Yudhishthira Maharaj talking to his own father, that Yaksha was none other than Yamraj, his own father, was testing him. And then he told Yudhishthira, because you answered all the questions very nicely, you can take this water. And one of your brothers I'll make alive. Whom you want? He said, let it be Sahadev. He said, why Sahadev? You love Arjun the most. He said, no, because Sahadev is the son of one of the mothers, Madri. And I am already the son of Kunti Mata. So I should be fair to both the mothers. We already discussed that the mother is the more important than the mother earth also. Then Yamraj said, I will make all five alive because I appreciate what you have answered. Then he told him that you are going for a very big war. And in this war, don't forget these question and answers. Similarly, we all sitting in this room are at war with Maya. Every minute, we are at war with Maya. See? And we should not forget what we have learned today. And we are going to learn further. So this samandha is the relationship which is taught to us by Srimad Bhagavatam. Abhidaya is what is a function, what we are supposed to do, is taught by Srimad Bhagavatam, by examples, by so many case studies. And third is prayojana. What is the result? The result, Radhanath Maharaj explains beautifully. This is the best part. Because you have firm faith, and then you develop a higher taste, then attachment to Krishna starts. The attachment is then transformed into service for Krishna. Then gradually bhava, love and prem. And beyond that, you get into pure, unmotivated love of Krishna. Now this is the goal. This is the final goal. Ahituki. You are not expecting anything. I'll give you an example. Say there is a 16-year-old boy. Okay? I don't know how many 16-year-olds are in this room. But I presume there are a few. And he comes first in his, 10th standard. Assuming he is in his 10th standard. Oh, acha, 16-year-old. 10th standard. Huh? Acha. I hope blessings. Mahaprabhu's nephew. So, his father is here, right? Nirandan Prabhu is here. So, supposing he comes first, what happens, you know, normally, I'm not talking about in this particular case, because they're devotees. The father will be so happy, my son, my darling, you have come first. What would you like to have? I'll give you. And the son will say, Papa, give me a Maruti car. The first thing they ask is a Maruti car. Children, they love to drive. So he says, no, two more years, 18. I'll definitely give you after 2 years. But now what do you want? So then he may ask for something else. Cycle, bike, or kuch bhi. And then that cycle will go down the drain after a while. And maybe there will be an accident also, unfortunately. And the boy will get injured somewhere or the other. I have been injured in a cycle many times. So we know that it happens, you fall down and all that. So what is the use of asking such a thing? You see, it's of no value. That love which is shown by the father to the son, material love, is of no value. There are three varieties of love. One is a material love, which I just mentioned to you, where somebody says, give me something, and he agrees. Material things. They don't satisfy our soul. They may temporarily satisfy your mind, which is material. They may temporarily satisfy your buddhi, which is material. And they may satisfy your ego, which is also material. So these material things, satisfaction is very temporary. This Srimad Bhagavatam is for permanent happiness. Then there is a second stage of happiness known as spiritual happiness. Jiva Goswami explains in the same book, Tattva Sandarbha, that this spiritual happiness is when you get mukti. You are fed up of this material world, so many problems, and you get yourself free from those problems. So you get mukti. So you think you have got spiritual happiness. But that is not the ultimate. That's certainly not the ultimate, and it's certainly not permanent. It'll again give you cause for coming down to this material world when you have exhausted your punyas, all your spiritual plus points. You know, these days you go to shops, first thing they give you a card. You go to any bookshop, they say, sir, are you a member of our bookshop? I say, I don't know what is a membership. I know of ISKCON membership, but I don't know this. Recently, most of us have received the card also, no? ISKCON ka card. I say, green wala mila hai na, aapko? This sort of card you got? Like that. Fortunately, I'm carrying it with my driving license. Because both are driving. One is going to drive my car, the other will drive my soul. So, the thing is, we get so many cards we get these days. So, any shop you go, they say, they want you to be bound to them, in short. You see, come back again, buy more. Come back again, buy more. See? So, that is the whole principle of this material world. Because Maya Devi says that, get birth again, man. This is damn good, you know. You'll again be able to play cricket as a young boy. Buddha, Buddha, dant nikal gaya. You can't play cricket now. No, you come again. You should be a fast bowler. You see, what is the use? What is the use? What is the earthly use? See, we have to think in terms of having this prayojana. Prayojana means developing pure love of God. That is the third stage. First love is material love. The second is spiritual love. But those two are not permanent. You must know that there is such a third highest love, which is Ahituki, which Radhanath Maharaj has explained so beautifully. He says, prema, pure, unmotivated love. We can get a glimpse of this from the mother again. Every now and then I'll give you an example of my mother. Because what did I pay her? She gave me liters and liters of milk when I was a young boy. Today you go in the bazaar and ask for 1 liter of milk, you'll find out what is the price. But we didn't have to pay any money as a boy or a child. It was pure love of human kindness, as Shakespeare used to say. Pure love of human kindness. Milk from a mother is pure love of human kindness. You see? And this is prema. No mother says, look, I am now feeding you, my dear child. When I grow up, you know, you'll have to feed me. There's no business relationship. It is pure love. Ahituki. Similarly, if that same father, I gave the example of young boy here and his father over there, then this fellow grows up and that father is old and this boy earns a lot of money and he says, father, today is your birthday. For 50 years, you took care of me. I'm now, supposing he is 50-year-old and he's 70-year-old. He says, you took care of me for 50 years. I haven't repaid you in any way. But today I would like to give you a set of Srimad Bhagavatam or a full lot of CDs of Prabhupada's or Radhanath Maharaj's tapes or CDs. How happy he will be. You see? He will feel that my son has given me the highest thing, best thing in the world. Nobody can give me like this. All the lectures of Prabhupada or Radhanath Maharaj. So this is the relationship. This is the thing which we should do. We should think how we can serve Krishna. Because he has given us what? Free air. Correct? Is there any meter for air we are breathing? No. Just imagine if there was a company which was selling air. You can imagine what would happen to us if they were metering and giving us air supply. We get the sun, giving us all the sun, heat, light. There is no meter, there is no cost. But there is actually. If you do not do what Bhagavatam says, repay to the Lord for the efforts that the Lord has made, you get born again, unnecessarily. Again you go through the whole cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. See? Water supply. Now of course water is costing, you know, 10 rupees a liter or something. But I remember this water was not costing at all anything. I remember even telephones were not costing anything. Is there any old person in this room? Before the war and just after the World War, there was no cost of telephone. There was only cost of connection of the phone. That's all. And then you can talk as much as you want. And there was no cost of telephone at that time. You see? So, this is what I am trying to get at. Try and give back to Lord Krishna what you have already taken. Tons and tons you have taken for so many lifetimes. If you start repaying without ahituki, without any consideration, that becomes spiritual love. That is pure love. And that is what the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches. So let us go through now the first shlok, if I may. Some of you know this shlok by heart, so you please chant along with me. Janmadhyasya yatunvayadi taratashtarte svavignasvarat tene brahmaradaya adikavaye muyamti yatsuraya tejo varimrudam yathamilimayo yatra trisargro mrusha damna svena sadani rastakvakam satyam param dhimahi. So, and it starts of course with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, which all of us chanted. Here the most important word is dharma projit kaitravo paramo. See, most of the religions in this world are cheating religions. That is the problem. That is the real problem. Because you don't know the real diamond from the artificial diamond. You can't make out the real gold from mixed gold. You see? Similarly, religions which are cheating religions are floating around plentiful. And people want to be cheated because they want to take immediate benefit. And therefore they accept such nonsense. So the first thing that Srimad Bhagavatam does is kicks out all these cheating religions. This is some of the Acharya's very, very important famous statements, where they say that this there are two opinions. One opinion of one Vaishnava Acharya is that because we are envious, the word is envy. Envy is the worst thing that can happen. You know the difference, most of you know, jealousy, envy. Aapko pata hai na? Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, matsa. Matsa ki baat hai. So envy and jealousy. Jealousy is when your neighbor gets a beautiful new car or a sari or whatever, and you are jealous that why he got or why she got, I should have got. Okay, so you are jealous. But if at night, because the neighbor got a new beautiful car, you go in there and you puncture his car at night, or you open up his spark plugs or remove the brake fluid, dekhega maza baad mein. See, that is envy, putting jealousy into practice. Putting jealousy into action is envy. So many times, Krishna tells Arjun, because you are not envious, you will understand this. Because you are not envious, you will appreciate this. Every time he says, I'll tell you these slokes. In the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, has anybody got Bhagavad Gita here? Bhagavad Gita hai kya kisi ke paas? Please see, 12th chapter, slok number 13 to 20. Okay. It starts like this. 12th chapter. Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sukhakshami santushta satatam yogi yathatma dranishchaya mayarpit manor buddhir yo mad bhakta same priya. He says, that devotee is very dear to me, isn't it? Because you're not envious. Just read it first. What is written? No, the translation.
One who is not envious.
Correct? Starts with that. Krishna says, because you are not envious, one who is not envious of me, then next. The kind friend to all living entities.
Who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego. Who is equal in both happiness and distress. Who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled and engaged in devotional service with determination. His mind and intelligence fixed on me. Such a devotee of mine is very dear to me.
Correct? That is what he says. So Krishna himself says, that is the 13th and the 14th, right? And what is the next one? Read. 15th. Yasmano dvijate loko, lokano dvijate chaya, harsha marsha bhayo dvegai, mukto yasacha me priya, anapeksha suchirdaksha, udasino gatavyatha, sarvarambha parityagi, yo mad bhakta same priya, yo narishyati na dveshti, na saunchati na kaunkshati, subha shubha parityagi, bhaktiman me priyo naraha. Correct? Just see. So again he says, how to become dear to Krishna? You see, if you go in the market or you go in this room and say, everybody please love me, nobody's going to love you. Kya bakwas? Gone mad or what? It's not possible. You see? So similarly, if the acharyas say you must develop love for Krishna, then what happens? What happens? Krishna himself is saying how to become beloved of Krishna. We don't have to make any effort. We don't have to do anything. We only have to follow what Krishna says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Just read that, you got a mic. 15th.
Yeah. He by whom no one is put into difficulty.
He by whom no one is put into difficulty.
And who is not disturbed by anyone.
who's not disturbed by, all of us get disturbed by someone. But we should learn not to get disturbed by anyone.
Who is equipoised in happiness and distress.
We are always very happy in happiness and we get very sad in distress.
Fear and anxiety.
Fear and
is very dear to me.
Correct? So, the way to get happy and become beloved of Krishna, there's a formula. You see, just like, supposing you want to make some chemical, then you open a chemistry book and there's a formula for it. This is how you make, say, potassium nitrite or whatever it is you want to make. Here is a formula that Krishna has given us in the 12th chapter. And believe me, if he is in love with us, he will send us his Viman, no, at the end of the life, our life. He will only send his vehicle to us. He will send his people to us instead of Yamraj sending, you know, Yamduts. We'll get Vishnuduts. Actually, Prabhupada says something very, very important. The fact that you come to this temple, already the Vishnuduts have identified you. Who are the Vishnuduts? The devotees of Krishna. They've identified you. कि ये future candidate है मेरे को ले जाने का है. You see? This is a future candidate I have to take back home, back to Godhead. Because the devotees are already going home, back to Godhead. Today only, Gaurang Prabhu said very beautifully in the morning that Jananivas Prabhu, who was a very, very senior person in Mayapur, said that the fact that you follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, am I correct? This is automatically guarantees that Lord Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Krishna in the mood of Radharani. There's another 1 hour it will take me to explain all that. But anyway, so he guarantees that you will go home back to Godhead. Now when he spoke this, our people from Chopati, as usual they are from Bombay, they have lots of doubts. People in Bombay have lots of doubts. They don't believe anybody. So, he said, it may be true for devotees from Mayapur, but we are from Chopati. It may apply. Am I correct? You said that this morning. I was listening to every word he said. And then, this gentleman said, no, it applies to everybody, including you guys from Chopati. Okay. Of course, this was spoken not at Chopati, this was spoken at Vada. But the conversation was very near to Chopati. So, our farm at Vada. So, then... later on, the devotee, somebody else also had doubts, correct? And he said, but we have done nothing good. Maybe we don't have enough qualification. He says, that is itself a qualification. The fact that you come to this temple is a qualification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so, so benevolent that your coming here is enough. Lord Krishna puts terms and conditions. See, all these terms and conditions he has put. Of course, there is 18.66... That is sarva dharma parityaga mam ekam sharanam vaja aham tvam sarva papabhyo mokshasami masucha. Then the result. Here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, never mind, unconditionally I'll take you back home, back to God. You just come here, that's all. Oh, kitna easy bana diya hai. Very easy. If you just come in this temple, there's nothing else you have to do, just associate with devotees. Itself qualifies you to go home back to Godhead. This is the beauty of Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu's commitment. You see, this is a wonderful thing. And therefore I say that we should learn not to tax God, but we should be prepared to actually serve Krishna. Of course, there's a lot more I want to tell you that... I told earlier about the mind because in the Bhagavatam it is stated that the mind can be your greatest friend and the mind can be your greatest enemy. It is stated here in the first shloka itself that Lord Krishna, because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of creation, sustenance and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations. You see, all this we are reading by what? By our eyes, by our indriyas. And these indriyas are connected to the mind. And then the mind is playing tricks. So sometimes the buddhi, means intelligence, says, no, 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 no. I am superior to you. You listen to me. What is stated is correct. Because the mind may say that ye to 5000 saal pehle likha, kisne likha, kisko malum. How do we know it is true? How do you know it will apply to us now in this age of science and all that? But the fact of the matter is that this Srimad Bhagavatam is timeless. Means what was, it's evergreen. What was true 5000 years ago is true now. It will be true for another 5000, 10,000, million years. There is no change. Material books, yes. Is what is mentioned today may not be valid tomorrow or maybe after 10 years or 20 years. There will be a new interpretation or a new group of people saying that was all rubbish. Like if you go to a medical store sometimes, they say, oh no, that medicine had to be withdrawn because it had bad effect or side effect. You see? So that is the type of situation in this material world. But fortunately for us, we are in a very, very sound foundation and we have come to back to Krishna. We were forgetful of Krishna. I told you right in the beginning. We had forgotten altogether Krishna. We have started now coming back to Krishna. And we have all realized that Satyam Param Dhimahi, of course, this would go on for many hours. I had so many other books with me which I could relate for hours and hours. There is only one Satyam Param Dhimahi. Everyone wants to know the truth. Because eventually it is the truth which remains, isn't it? If somebody speaks a lie, he himself forgets that I have spoken this lie. After 1 hour, 2 hours, or 1 day or 2 days, you ask him the same question, he would have forgotten what lie he spoke. Because basically the mind plays tricks. You follow? And the mind will always misguide us. So it is better, this is the most important thing, it is better to learn how to surrender. What does it mean? Sarva dharma parityagam. To surrender your mind and even your intellect and your ego at the lotus feet of Krishna. Nobody is willing to accept your mind. Do you know that? Nobody is willing to accept your intelligence. Nobody wants certainly your ego. Koi aapka ego ahankar lega nahi. Only Krishna will accept your ego. Only Krishna accepts your bad mind and your bad intellect. Because the soul does not need material mind, does not need material intelligence or material ego. The soul is better without these things. The pure soul can go home back to Godhead faster than carrying this baggage of all this mind and intelligence and ego. So, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important Puran. There is nothing more important than reading the first chapter, first shlok. Please try and read it when you get home. Read the purport. It's a very long purport. That's why I didn't touch it too much. And if you have the last 12th chapter, 12th canto, read the last one also. The last shlok of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anybody knows the last shlok of Srimad Bhagavatam? Prabhuji? Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukha samanas tannamami harimparam. The last shlok of Srimad Bhagavatam is nama sankirtanam. It's very easy. You can understand immediately. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam. All your paps will be washed out, cleaned out, or burnt. Sarva papa pranashanam. Pranamo dukha samanas. All your miseries will be destroyed. Nama sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukha samanas tanna mami harimparam. Then you will go home back to Godhead. Prabhupada made a magazine called Back to Godhead. Back to Godhead. You heard, no? Back to Godhead magazine. That is the last shlok of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the last words. Back to Godhead. His magazine is the start of the last shlok of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you open Back to Godhead magazine, you are already on the way home back to Godhead. That is the whole point. It's a wonderful part about this magazine. And all of us have enjoyed this magazine. Please continue to read it. But The whole idea is associate with devotees, because every time I've come across every shastra, association of devotees is the most important, particularly in this age of Kali Yuga. And these devotees in this Chopati temple or Juhu temple, or I think we've got a Mira Road and so many places, they've given their life for you. They've given their whole life. What is bhakti? Bhakti is, there are three things, no? Bhukti, mukti and bhakti. Everybody knows these three things? Bhukti is material happiness. Mukti is spiritual happiness of joining one with God, being one with God. That's not final. But bhakti is the final. So pure bhakti, the devotees in this temple are very happy to explain, very happy to teach in our institute downstairs. So join there and become perfect, so that you can very quickly go home back to Godhead in this very lifetime. You don't have to keep on coming back and back. Maybe there is chance that you might fall into the wrong place or wrong body. Why take that risk? In this lifetime, master the Srimad Bhagavatam and master yourself. Be in control of the situation. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions or any comments?
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please accept my salutations. There are two queries which I would like to discuss with you. The first is that I have read a little booklet on Srila Prabhupada's. When you chant the Hare Krishna mantra, it is not karma kand. It's not for seeking material benefits.
Correct.
But now what has happened with me 7 years back, I have been facing a very complicated psychosomatic problem.
Okay. And most of us have been. And you are not alone in the boat.
And finally, I mean, we went abroad also for my treatment, but they could not diagnose it.
Okay.
But my current doctor, since the last 1.5 years, he was very firm with me that I should chant 2 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra.
Very good.
Now, the problem still exists, but it is very small. It is in control.
Very
basically.
Good.
So, isn't there a contradiction? Because when we say Hare Krishna mantra, we're not expecting anything, but still we are getting gift.
Oh, very good question. Brilliant question. May I answer it first? Then you ask me the second question.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have your permission?
Sure, sir.
All right. You see, it is stated in the Shastra that if you get, supposing a poor man who's absolutely in debt and he's in misery, he's very, very poor, 200 people are hounding him for repayment of their loans, and supposing that fellow suddenly gets 1 crore rupees cash, supposing, all his problems get solved, no? 5 rupee, 10 rupee, 100 rupee, 2000 rupee, 10,000, 20,000, 1 lakh, 2 lakh, 10 lakh, 20 lakh problems, all solved, isn't it? So, this Mahamantra chanting is like getting crores of rupees benefit. Of course, it's not material. It is spiritual. But that includes, what I'm trying to say is, it includes all the other smaller benefits. It's a byproduct. You understand what the meaning of byproduct is? Supposing there is a reaction of some nature.
Are you trying to say that we should pursue it without certain expectation of benefits? But however, he will give certain benefits also.
But it's happened to me. It's happened to everybody in this room. When you chant the Mahamantra sincerely, without any expectation, especially in association with devotees, in the morning, preferably, come here, chant. Okay? Then you'll see automatically so many benefits will come to you. Some of them will shock you. You see? It's happened to me. It's happened to me. I'm telling you frankly. It's shocking. Things which I expect a profit of only 1 lakh or 2 lakhs. 2 crores come. Kya karega abhi? So I say, Krishna, it's all yours. Mera to kuch nahi hai. Mera to 1 lakh ka tha wo. 1.99 aapka hai. Le jao aapka hai. See, you should be truthful. Thereafter, suppose you get all these benefits, your psychosomatic problem gets solved. And you get monetary, huge benefit. Then you should say no, honestly, to Krishna. You got many other benefits.
Yes.
Achha, second question.
I have a second query. And this is about the story which you narrated to us regarding the Yaksha and Yudhishthir.
Yes.
we had in our academic days, we had to read the same story.
Yes.
And in that version, the Yaksha offered Yudhishthir a case like, if you had two, I am granting you a wish that I will make two of your brothers alive.
One but, of your brothers. Starting with one brother. Anyway, your teacher said two brothers.
Please, if you give me the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you benefit of doubt.
So he said, Yudhishthir said, Nakul and Sahadev. So the Yaksha said that, why don't you choose Bhim or Arjun, you know, such valiant warriors who can protect you. So Yudhishthir says that it is not Bhim or Arjun which protects a person, it is a dharma which protects a person.
Correct.
Now to elaborate on the word dharma, most people believe that it is only duty done. But reading through spiritual texts, according to my understanding, is when you are in practical touch with divine and you have that consciousness, you are working in synchronization with the divine, you are working with dharma. That would be the definition according to me. Please tell me whether I am right or wrong.
See, that is why you must read this Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, first shloka. Dharma projita kaitravo paramo. The word dharma is there. Okay? So there are many types of dharmas. In this world, there are many types of everything. See? Even if you say rice, did you know there are 15,000 varieties of rice in this world? Did you know that? There are 5,000 varieties of mangoes. Mango, we think is mango. But no, I used to buy mangoes, I know. There are 5,000 varieties of mango. Did you know India produces 5 million tons of mango a year? Did you know that? Okay. Do you know that there are 45 countries in the world which exports mangoes? Okay. So we think mango is mango after all. What? Kya hai yaar? Mango is mango. Carry, amba. But it's not like that. Dharma is also like mangoes. See? Everything in this world has varieties. Everything in this world has varieties. You see? So dharma, what you mean dharma, everyone, if you ask in this room, everyone will tell you a different story. So I am therefore, we are relying therefore on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because the final definition of dharma is only given in Srimad Bhagavatam. You are right. What you said is 100% correct. I just referred and checked what you said. Because I wanted to make sure what you are saying is truth. It is stated therein that Yudhishthir said to his father, Dharmaraj. He is telling Dharmaraj himself, Yamraj, that it is only dharma which will protect me. Not this big fat Bhima or this fantastic archer Arjun. They can't protect you.
Can you...
What is this dharma? But come on, come to the point. What is this dharma?
The dharma which Yudhishthir mentioned, can you elaborate on that particular
point? That's a question I'm asking you. What did Yudhishthir mean?
I have no answers for that.
That's why you have to listen. Okay. Now you can put the mic down. Then you listen. You see, the dharma that Yudhishthir talked of was the same dharma that his father Dharmaraj talked of. Okay. And we are now going to this very, very deep subject of dharma. Okay. Dharma is in 12 stages. Please try to understand. Dharma is in 12 stages. The lowest form of dharma is the dharma like a sweeper in the house. Isn't it? You give him money, therefore he has to clean. That is his dharma. He has to pay. I have paid him 10 rupees. He'll do 10 rupees job. And then he'll go out. So he's finished his dharma. Then you say, why are you not cleaning that room? He says, mera dharma ho gaya. Means, mera kaam ho gaya. You paid me 10 rupees, I have done 10 rupees job. So that is the lowest form. Followed. Then the next dharma, higher dharma, is where the person, before you tell him even, he will do his duty. And then he'll come to you and say, see sir, I have cleaned your whole room so nicely. Now it's up to you. Aapki jo ichha hai, aap humko de do. You know, there are many people, aap jaiye in the railway station and all that. They'll say, maine ye sab liya aapka saman. Now aapka jo marji ho, mereko do. And you give him 25 rupees, you'll say, kya diya 25 rupees? Mere ko 50 rupees dena mangta tha. That's what happens. So that is the second stage of dharma. You see? You follow? First, there is an agreement and both sides stick to the agreement. Second is where there is no agreement. One side thinks this is the agreement and the other side plays on that, hey, ye toh 25 toh milega hi mere ko. Then he's bound to pay me more. You see, that sort of... So that is the cheating type of dharma. Now we start on the subject of cheating type of dharma. Okay. Now in this respect, the same thing goes on with the government also. The businessman thinks the government is all sala bakwas. They are all these employees of the government are not working. Why should I pay my tax? They say like that. It's not right. You have to pay your tax because that's the law of the land. You have to pay your, that's your duty, sort of, dharma, isn't it? Because the government is protecting you against enemies, has so many other things to do like building dams or repairing roads and so on. So you have to pay your tax. If you don't agree that this tax is good tax, then you have to tell your MP or you should elect some people who will change the law. But once the law is fixed, you have to stick by it. So what Yudhishthir was talking about is the law of God, dharma, not law of man. Now we are at the topmost level, the law of God. Now the law of God is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Because the law of man changes. Parliament can change the law anytime, isn't it? Yeah, but who's telling you about this practical union with divine? You are telling me. Or the divine has said, this is my practical union with you. See, I am saying, what God has told, no, is union with me. There is the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I just said, no, Adveshta Sarva Bhutana Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirankara Samadukha Shukakshami. God is saying that this is how you can have union with me. Please stick to the words of Krishna. Don't change. That's why Prabhupada loves this word as it is. Bhagavad Gita as it is. What is that Bhagavad Gita? So likha hai na, as it is. You see? Because so many Bhagavad Gitas have come. You know there are 18,200 Bhagavad Gitas in this world? Do you know this? And hardly anyone sticks to this. The first Bhagavad Gita I read, I don't want to say the name of the first president of India, but anyway, he died also. And he died mad also. That's the worst part of the poor fellow. Now there he says in his Bhagavad Gita, it is not to Krishna but to the black unknown within. Are kya bakwas yaar? How can it be? Krishna is not black anywhere. He's blue. See him? He's there. Black within. What within? Within and without is the same. Because Krishna is entirely Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. Sat Chit Anand Vigraha. He's not Deha. You and I are Deha. We have this body. Deha means the body which will die. Krishna has no Deha. Krishna has Vigraha. Vigraha never dies. You follow my point? So it's better to learn Dharma from somebody who never dies. Because when that you learn Dharma from somebody who dies, then his Dharma also dies. Isn't it? Supposing you hear from a person and that fellow is dead, then you want to ask him a question, then what question you'll ask him? He's already dead. Finish. But here is Krishna who's teaching you, who'll never die. That is God. Otherwise, what is the meaning of God if he keeps dying here? Isn't it? What sort of God is that if he keeps dying here? We keep dying, therefore we are not God. Yeah. Okay, okay. We'll take up later on together, one to one. Okay. Any other questions? Yeah. Thank you. Mike. You give him that. Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
Hare Krishna.
If a man fails to, you know, acknowledge himself, the relationship with the God in this life, then he has to go through that 84 lakh species. That cycle is there, no? So he has to go through that.
Or any one of them. You may not have to start with bottom and again start. You may become halfway, like a dog.
Yeah. So that cycle seems to be very big.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's too long. Big. You should be afraid of that cycle.
So
we don't want to get in that cycle.
What's my question is, how is possible for a, you know, as you said, the child remembers Remembers the name of the Lord in the womb.
Womb, yes. So it's there in the Bhagavatam.
When he's in that cycle, then that cycle is so big that he must have forgotten the name of the Lord.
No, he's not forgotten. When you are in total misery, you remember Lord. Then you forget about the cycle, you remember of God. See, four type of people remember Krishna. I'm not saying you should plunge into the river of misery. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that four type of people, what is it, 17.15, just open it. So there are four type of people, correct? 7.15 and 7.14, 15, 16. Four type of people always remember Krishna. You see? You know your Bhagavad Gita? 7th chapter, 15th sloka.
I haven't read that much.
You should learn. So there it is stated. That's why association with devotees. So there it is stated, four type of people never come to me. Krishna says, four type of people never come to me. They always are in that cycle of birth, death, old age, disease. And there are four type of people who do come to me. So you please read that. It's a long thing. It will take me another 2 hours. But meantime, I've given you the hint. Associate with devotees and 7.15, 7.16. You got Bhagavad Gita as it is.
Yeah.
You have?
Yeah.
The first step is to buy that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? No. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions? Anybody? Nobody? Huh? Oh. Any other questions? Yes? Sorry? Yes, the gentleman wants to speak. What type of cycle? Yes. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, birth, death, old age, disease. This is the cycle. You are bound to get birth, death, old age and disease. Now, there are two types of birth. In that birth, there are two types of births. Either material birth or a spiritual birth. So, you have to get out of the cycle of material birth, death, old age, disease and get into the cycle of spiritual birth. Because in the spiritual birth, there is no death, there is no old age and there is no disease. Because Krishna is eternal and you join him and then you are eternal. Okay? Actually, the soul is supposed to be with Krishna only. But we dragged ourselves away from Krishna into the material world. He didn't push us. We pulled ourselves into the material world. We wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. We wanted to imitate Krishna. Or some ladies wanted to imitate gopis. You see? And therefore, we got into the perverted reflection. We are in the perverted reflection. Urdhamula Madhashyakam, 15th chapter, 1st sloka of Bhagavad Gita. So, to get out of this cycle, you have to take the help of the person who can pull us out of the cycle. None of us who are in this cycle can take you out of it. So, we have to go to Bhagavad Gita. Because he is out. Supposing we are all drowning in an ocean. You follow? So, somebody who's got a boat, which is not sinking eternally, he can only pull us out, no? So Krishna is that. He'll pull us out. Thank you. Hari Bol. Yes. Srimad. Oh, you want anything else? I think that we'll discuss separately.